This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time. But I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Cast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
It should get there. What a goal! It's absolutely world class from Marcus Tunde.
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flint wins it.
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes! Oh, my God!
The Wednesday way!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to episode 401 of the Wednesday week. Yes, and the title is Highs and Lows. It's been a week of highs and lows for Sheffield Wednesday fans this week. Obviously, the welcoming of Plymouth and Leeds to S6. So let's get right into it. Evening, everyone. Are you all right? Don't all shout up at once. That's all. Really. Go on, Holly, you go first.
It's been an emotional week, hasn't it?
You're telling me. So, Simon, how are we?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. All good.
Oh, well, straight to the point. Then. Stevie? And Stevie's friend. Look at the face. Look at
the described by Holly, the real star of the podcast. She's been bothering me to try and get on here for the last 3 weeks. Can I come on, Dad? Can I come on, Dad? All good. We're all good.
TikTok sensation.
TikTok sensation, Molly Spence.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's start off with the good, shall we? Start off with the good. Tuesday night, under the lights, I think they made a bit of a big trip, didn't they, Plymouth? It was a long old journey Tuesday night for the guys from down south. Coming to S6, obviously, we were in a really bit of good form, and they never are, but it's been said they are all must-win games now, but they never are, are they, Stevie? So, Holly, I'll start with you. Tuesday night, obviously, Plymouth coming up. How are you feeling just on the game itself, getting up to the game?
Well, I think I've finally come to terms with that Huddersfield game. I know it's taken me a few weeks, but I feel like the Huddersfield game, if we'd have like lost 1-0 or drawn, we might have had a bit of neither here nor there form, but because it was that bad, it gave us a kick up the ass, and I felt quite confident going into the Plymouth game. They were on a really, really dire run form, which really, really helps. but I felt a lot more confident before than during.
Simon, how about yourself?
Yeah, well, it was one of those six pointers that we're going to have right until the end of the season, effectively. It was one we needed to take points off because they're around us. They were in a really poor set of form ever since, is it Shoemaker had gone to Stoke? Is that the guy who was their manager before?
I think it's Cobbler.
Schumacher.
You just want to get in on the Blair act, don't you?
booing. And since then, their form has really dropped off. And I don't think there's a great deal of love for their new manager either from the Plymouth fans. I was fairly confident that we'd get a result out of it. And I went into it freezing cold because we've been stood for a few hours beforehand, getting eggs off those wonderful Wednesday fans. It wasn't very well. Not many came up, did they?
No. Stevie, how did you feel going into the game?
I felt confident, if I'm honest. I thought it was a game. I know that their results haven't been great recently, and they are on a bit of a downward turn. And I know that I genuinely hope we get into it tonight. We start talking about the must-win situation of the games that we've got left and where we are with things. But it felt like a necessary game that we'd have to get something out of. But I felt confident we'd do it. We were on a good run of form. And if you look at the games that we have got left and the ones that we did have left as of Tuesday at 7 o'clock, whatever time it was, I genuinely would have said that that's one that we need to be picking points up from. I don't think necessarily a draw would have been good enough in the grand scheme of things. If we're looking to pick up points, that's something we'd be looking to target. And I know that there's an irony around me saying it, not all games are must win when everybody else is saying that they are. But I did feel that it was necessary that we took something out of the game on Tuesday night. But I felt confident we were going to do that, given the players that we had, the form that we were in. And the confidence that was around the place as a Tuesday. So I wasn't necessarily worried. And it was one of those where I was looking forward to it and I felt like we were going to win.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it. Obviously, we'll have a look at the starting lineup versus Plymouth. So here we go. So start with Beadle as obviously the number one choice now, cemented that position. We've got Valentin and Johnson, your wing backs. Iorfa and Ekwe and Bernard, which I think is personally the three strongest, probably, centre halves. We've got Pervada, Volks, Bannon, Gassama, and Ogbo, the goal machine up front. It was an expected starting lineup for me. I don't know if anyone else has thoughts on that. Simon, what was your initial thoughts? I mean, it's not a change squad, is it? Bernard came back in.
Well, that was it. He came back in. Obviously, he was suspended for the Rotherham game, but it was a no-brainer not to go with the same starting lineup as what we'd had against Rotherham previously. And that's up until Friday night. I think that's what Danny's been doing. He's keeping a settled side. And we sort of started off against Plymouth pretty much how we started off against Rotherham, I think. You know, it was like for like with Bernard coming in. And yeah, more of the same, I thought. And that's how we started.
It was. I mean, Holly, how did obviously the it, get it right? How do you pronounce Pervada's first name? Is it Jan?
Jan.
Jan. Jan. It's not Ian, is it? R. Ian.
It's not Ian.
It's Jan. So, Jan. Bye. Sorry, everyone. Bye. Molly's going. She's off. She's had enough. That's it.
Her mother's just texted and said, "Can you send her out? She needs a bath."
Call by mum. I like it. So obviously Pervada, Holly, what's your initial thoughts been on him? I know probably 99% of Wednesdayites are loving him, and obviously it was well documented we missed him on Friday night, but against Plymouth I thought he was outstanding again.
Oh yeah, he were absolutely. I've been really trying to hold back and not love him as much as I do, but I can't help it. Every single thing that he does is the best thing. And when we were watching it, you could hear people saying, "Bloody hell, we're going to miss him on Friday." You could hear, like in the Plymouth game, people saying they were going to miss him on Friday because there wasn't really somebody that replaces him, is there? You know, like Masaba and Gassama are sort of interchangeable, but then there's nobody that does his task, really, is there?
Yeah. And it's a position he's come in. He's a totally different player to anything we've got, have we? Yeah. For me, I think he is. And he's come in. Was it on deadline day as well? Was it one of those where they thought, oh, panic buy type of thing? I think it was bandied around. But he's one of those that, for me, I think he did a couple of turns on the byline and it was away. And he's one of those where you sit up, don't you, like that, and your bum's off your seat type of player.
And he turns to the crowd as well and, like, tries to G him up or just gives him a big grin. And there's nothing football fans love more than a player that does that. Whoever it is, if they do that, we love them already. Like, yeah.
Like Adeniran, he had a big grin all the time, didn't he? And, you know, fans think he must love playing football and stuff. So
yeah, it looks like he loves every single minute that he's on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, the first half, we were well on top, like you say, about Rotherham. And then on 20th minute, we thought we'd got the opening goal.
I know, and wasn't it? It was such a well-worked goal as well. I think it was, oh, goodness me. Was it Gassama who put the ball out to Paul Valentin? Basically, the switch of play over to Paul. And we just tore them in half. And it was so fast, actually, that the linesman couldn't keep up with play, had no idea whether it was on or offside because he was so far behind play. Fantastic finish by Poveda. And then the flag went up. And it was within, 3 days, 4 days of the Rotherham game where we had a perfectly legitimate goal ruled out for offside. We had another one ruled out for offside as well. So just really annoying. Really annoying, and it could have cost us, but luckily it didn't. But we've got to pick up on the. I don't like VAR. I hate VAR. But if ever there was two games that needed it, they were the two games.
The Lino was actually watching the screen on the replay to check as well. What I will say is, we shouted it like we definitely knew we were onside, and it was down the other side. There's no way we could have seen it, but we shouted like,
not from where you are.
Oh yeah, you've got to make a case, aren't you?
But what do you think, Stevie? On your first initial, because I mean, you're bang in front of me by about two or three rows, aren't you? So you've got the same sort of angle of it. So what did you think initially? If he was on, off, or did
I thought it was on. I thought it was onside. At the time, I thought it was onside. I thought it was one of those where the run, it came to pass as it played out. It was what I thought it was, and the ball has been played from behind, or the runner's been made from behind the ball, or the player with the ball bringing the ball across. I was very surprised it was chalked off. It's a difficult one because to say it becomes irrelevant wouldn't be right, because we've had two good goals cancelled out. But fortunately, in both games, we've ended up going on to win the game. But I just think, I can't remember if it was something that was said in the chat or it was something that I'd heard somewhere, but somebody made the point with the Rotherham game in particular. And I know we pulled that one apart a little bit last week.
Yeah.
If we score that goal, if the Maywell's goal stands, I don't think it's a 1-0 against Rotherham. I think we go on and we get another and another, and it could have been 2-3-0. That could have been a 4-5-0 game. And as it happens, because we're Sheffield Wednesday and we can be a little bit temperamental, is not the right word, but we can be a little bit whatever the word would be.
We can be temperamental. I think temperamental is quite a good description.
But I think the way that we are in those sort of situations, the longer games go, the more nervy we get and the more apprehensive we become. And in those situations, we get the goal and then it's, right, what are we going to do next? And it's about making sure we get the 3 points. And teams tend to come back into the game. And we don't, you know, if we score a little bit later on, we don't tend to go and score again and again and again, do we? Mm-hmm. So that 1-0 was going to be a 1-0. And I think the Plymouth game, if we score that goal, it's a similar sort of situation where I think it might have been a different outcome in terms of the result. I'm not saying that we go on and score 3-4 goals against Plymouth, but I think it might have been a little bit more comfortable than it seemed to be on paper. And I think the thing for me with the Plymouth game, hearing their manager afterwards saying that some of the things that he said, how close it was, and he felt like they could have had a couple of penalties. Yeah. And
it's gonna get to that.
It was interesting. Yeah, I don't want to jump ahead. It was interesting to hear what he said and the reaction from some of the Plymouth socials and the fans on X and social media.
Well, yeah, I will say about the offside, there's no need for him to be offside from that because we were so far ahead of their players. He wouldn't need to be ahead of the ball. He's not trying to like outrun their defender because we were so far ahead, so we could have held his run anyway. But I think somebody was arguing the case on X that the offside was before that. It was from he was offside at an earlier point in the play. Again, I can't see that from where I sit. So apparently the lino's seen it much earlier than that, and it's no to do with the actual finish. But I I can only pass on that information and argue against it.
I saw that, and I was initially I was going to have a go at the linesman, but I think the crossfield part. It's always I'm not a linesman. I'm not an officiate or anything like that. But I suppose it's difficult for them because the ball was raked from one side of the field to the other, mm-hmm. and Valentin is pretty quick.
Yeah.
To get that ball and then the ref to catch up with it as well is never ever going to be in line. Yeah. So he's gonna take a guess at it, and it's probably because it was that fine and it was that much of a pass that was open for Pervader to tap it in. He probably thought, oh, he's well offside.
But there were a similar one just after that. That was down the other end, and it was in Plymouth's favour, and the lino on our side just
didn't give it offside. Didn't give it, no.
And that looked more offside than ours.
So we've just been obviously, Holly just talking about Pervader. We've got a Leeds supporter, Michael Brown, here. So Pervader is a great acquisition for Ouds. Quality that Leeds have, it was difficult for him to break into the first team. If Pervader could add end product to his game, then it would be a bargain. I mean,
he did. If it weren't for that liner,
if it weren't for the liner, it would. It is, and I mean, the impact he's had has been fantastic, and I think that he is going to get better and better with the games that he plays, and just like if he can add a goal, he were close against Rotherham, and he was close against Plymouth.
I think with Pervader is that what we saw on Tuesday night was that because he can beat a man so quickly and he has such a turn of pace that you'd seen teams trying to put two players on him. So really, does he need an end product? He's a guy who passes as well. What I love about him is he isn't greedy. You know, he'll make a position for himself. He'll make space. He'll take a couple of players away, which then creates space for our other players. And then he'll pass. He isn't like Masaba and Gassama are a little bit guilty of a time of taking one touch too many and maybe passing it. And what I thought when we'd signed Pervader and seeing him in the first game, I thought, oh, he's going to be one of these guys who's very fancy but holds on to the ball too long. And he doesn't. He is a really unselfish player. He'll pass. He knows when to make a pass and when not to make a pass. So yeah, it'd be great to see him scoring, but I think he's going to create a lot. I think his assists are going to be up there.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think Gassama and Masaba in the last couple of games were guilty of taking one touch too much, especially Gassama against Leeds. I thought he was very, very selfish, and there were a couple of times and he could have, but we'll get onto that as well. So keep going forward. So Steve has gone into the first half 0-0, but like Rotherham, it was disappointing. But did you feel that a goal was coming? That we just took his time, and obviously it did come.
Yeah, very much so. I don't, even though it was 0-0 at half time, there was always that feeling that we were on top of the game. I didn't feel like we were, there was any pressure against us or that we were, you know, at risk of being hit on the counter or anything like that. And I don't really think, I think the back three were excellent. I think you said earlier that you think that they're our best sort of combination. I can't really argue. If I'm honest, I've no dog in the Ahekwe fight. And I know that's controversial as an ex-centre-half, but he heads, he does his job well. He's doing really, really well. Really well.
He's one who's impressed me, gotta say.
I like Iorfa. I do like Iorfa and Bernard's another level. I think Bernard is absolutely phenomenal. I just think Ahekwe is playing above himself at the moment. And fair play, more power to him. But I think the way that those three have set up and the way that we've got our wing backs tucking in at times, and we're offering that insurance with the two that are playing in front, I never really felt like we were at risk of conceding. You know, and I know that's quite an arrogant thing to say, but I think we bossed the game. I do. I think we controlled it.
So their half-time finishing was really poor.
It wasn't great. And, you know, historically, Hardy's not been bad. And I'm a big fan of Whittaker. I think, you know, if somebody tells you that you're going to pay £1 million to get a Morgan Whittaker in 2024, you'd snap their hands off, wouldn't you? Because he's a very good player.
I think we managed him really well. He wasn't on the ball. You could see they tried to get it to him. And when he did have it, he was ineffective. And I think whoever it was, because he switched over, Valentin and Johnson, I think they did a real good job on him.
Which is
brilliant. I've a real sort of thing for Marvin Johnson at the moment. I think he's just the guy he's probably been our most impactful player this year. And I know we're talking about Pervada and we're talking about Ugbo coming in, the loans in January. But from a period of time of this guy, it's been a real redemption story, hasn't it? And I know that people will have touched on it previously, but to say that this guy was out in Dubai, wasn't it? 3 months ago, 4 months ago, to get to where he is now, I think he's absolutely next level.
He weren't on a beach at Cleethorpes, Steve. He was sunning it up. You know what I mean? He weren't training on his own in Cleethorpes. He picked the right place to go to, but yeah. And 60th minute, Gassama. Good goal. Good team goal, I think it was. Holly, what did you think to Gassama? I mentioned earlier, I thought he was a bit not greedy, but he could have released the ball more in the last couple of games. But the keeper had
saved it at first because he got down to it, didn't he? From our view, it looked like he'd managed it. But I think with players that run at people, I think coaches now don't train that out of them. They encourage it, don't they? And he's the kind of player that can smell blood when it's a team like Plymouth that are on a poor run. He's going to keep running at them until it's successful, which it worked, didn't it? Like, I think trying to get him to pass it is going to be counterproductive because it comes more naturally to him to just keep running at people. At teams like that, yeah, maybe it might be more wasteful against better teams. Because you've got to make the most of every time you get in their box, aren't you? But against Plymouth, we were always going to keep doing it. So I suppose let him do it until it works.
I mean, the finish for me, it was a good finish. And I exact same from where I sat. I thought the keeper pulled off a great save. And, obviously, Dean just punched into the back of the net, which, I mean, for us, is fantastic. I mean, there wasn't much else. I can't. Please forget, Beadle made one save. I think he did, from Whittaker, I think it was. But other than that, I agree with Stevie. There wasn't anything to worry me. I think that goes hand in hand with their form, obviously, as well, and now they've played. No. But what I saw from the first half into the second half.
I think the last 10 minutes, we made so many changes in the last 10 minutes. I thought sort of really hit we took us out of our stride, and I thought we let Plymouth come into it more. I mean, Steve mentioned it, Ihekwe. I mean, he made a fantastic sliding block in the box in the second half towards the end. You know, they were bombarding us, and then Palmer came on, didn't they? And Palmer intercepted the ball probably in front of where you guys sit, Steve and Ash. And he had a run on, and I thought he was superb then. We just seemed to lose our momentum and our concentration. And I thought maybe Danny just changed it a little too much. I know he'd obviously then got an eye on what was happening on Friday. But I just thought we were a little bit nervy towards the end, and they bombarded us a little bit. It was, to me, the last 5-10 minutes were a little bit nervy.
Well, I was just about to say that. I think I can't remember what the subs were, but from that moment that he made those subs, I was sat next to Charlie from this very podcast. And sitting next to Charlie with a slender 1-0 lead, would not recommend it. That she was just relentlessly saying, he's done it wrong, the subs. Oh, no, it's all going wrong. Yeah. It, like, she was... And I can't tell whether...
Yeah, it was Bannon went off at half time. Diaby came on for him. Which
I feel like
that first 62 minutes, that first game, then he got injured. Whatever it was, he was world beater. But now, oh my god!
I don't know if you're going to do this, Ash, but I've got the minutes of the substitutions and the changes that have been made.
Yeah. No, are you,
is that where you're
going? I've got him. Yeah, you're right. Go on. No,
so Bannon. Obviously, I think he got a bit of a knock towards the end of the first half, didn't he? And no argument with that. We can talk about Momo coming on and where we were and where we are with him. But he came on at half time. We got Kadamatri came on at 68. Masaba and Diaby came on at 76. And then Palmer came on 87. Yeah.
But can you say that the nerviness was from the fans rather than the players? We let them have more ball, but did they have any more?
100%.
That were like a Darren Moore game management 1-0 see it out kind of thing, wasn't it, really? Maybe we've learned a little bit from not doing that in previous games where we've ended up conceding at the end. And our fans, I feel like the players weren't quite as nervous as the fans. we make it worse.
I've got the stats up here, and obviously 54%. Possession for us.
So that's better than I thought. Then.
46 for Plymouth. The shots, 18 to 13 in Sheffield Wednesday, February. The one that got me shots on target, 3 each. Now, you know, I love stats and everything, but you're looking at them and you're thinking, actually, Plymouth were in the game. But like Simon said, last 10 minutes were the only time that they were the thing. But hey.
I think the problem was that did make the fans nervous was that I think, are you going to talk about Momo? I mean, I thought Momo just does not look match fit at all.
Don't like football, if you ask me.
No, and he had no pace and just really gave the ball away too much. And then Bambo came on, and we spoke about Bambo in last week's podcast, saying, you know, he's slowly bringing him back in. And I said he needs to forget he's a footballer and just do the simple stuff. And he went back into that, I'm a footballer and not doing the simple stuff. And it was just some really silly little things that came into it, which obviously then wound the crowd up, you know, because I think Plymouth could still be playing now once it scored, but it was just that the thing with what Steve said about Sheffield Wednesday is that we suddenly felt, oh crap, this has got 1-1 written on it, this. But luckily it didn't. But I just think some of the changes and some of the players, and that's why, like, when Palmer came on, he just basically went into Liam playing defensive, winning the ball 100% and just doing the simple things. And that then got us over the finish line.
Yeah, it did. Over the finish line, 3 points, Sheffield Wednesday. It's a good job all the other results went for us as well that night, weren't it? Well, we could talk about that for another hour or two.
They're all must win. They're almost win.
Yeah, you know, so Tuesday night, 3 points in the bag. Plymouth dispatched back down the M1 on that 300 odd mile journey back to their place. So nothing else much happened in the week, and we rolled on to Friday. Another night under the lights against Leeds United. Now I'm going to ask you the same question. Holly, were you confident, or how were you feeling going into this game?
Bearing in mind,
Leeds had won 10 out of 11. You know, we'd won 3 on the bounce.
I think they've only conceded 3 this year, haven't they?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Well, luckily for me, I didn't know those stats beforehand. but obviously, where I live, it's all Leeds fans. I was the only Wednesday fan at my entire school. It's all Leeds. So, I've had messages from every single person in West Yorkshire, people from school that I haven't spoken to since school, my neighbours, people at work, people have been coming into my work just to heckle me before the game. My phone battery died. My phone battery died in the game. And when I turned it back on after, I had 702 WhatsApp messages. But I think Leeds fans were worried about this.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I got a lot of people saying, oh, you'll probably beat us tonight, getting their excuses in early, which is absolutely what I were doing as well. But but they were worried, and they kept saying, oh, well, we're tired, and lots of different excuses in advance. Yeah. So I think they were a bit nervy as well. I didn't want us to look daft, because I have watched them a couple of times on the telly, and when they are cutthroat, they really are. But I had a little tiny bit of hope in between wanting to vomit on the train on the way there with nerves.
Stevie, how about you? What do you think going into the Leeds game?
Okay, right. So the Leeds game is the reason that I can't sit here in good conscience and say every game's must win. Because I was more confident than I probably would have been a month ago. But I wasn't expecting too much out of the game, if that makes sense. A draw would have been a great result, and I'd have bit your hand off at 7 o'clock for a 1-0 or a 0-0 or a 2-0, whatever it may have been. And I think it came to pass very quickly that, you know, there was a difference in terms of level. And at the end of the day, with apologies to sort of jumping ahead, we saw Friday night that they're a level above us at the moment. And, you know, we got what we got. It was what it was. But going into the game, I couldn't say I was confident. I didn't expect to get battered. You know, I think the days of, you know, capitulating 4-0 at home like we did against Millwall or the Huddersfield, I think hopefully, thankfully, we're past that. But yeah, I wasn't overly confident Friday night.
I just didn't want it to kill the vibe. I feel like...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The reality, Holly, the reality is that the vibe's not going to last forever. We're not going to win every game between now and the end of the season. You know, we've got to try and identify, you know, the points that we can pick up, the games where we're going to get them. And it's money. The money ball model isn't the right word when we're talking about results, but that kind of principle of let's see the bigger picture and let's see where we can pick up that many points that we're going to accrue to get ourselves over the line. Anything we'd have got on Friday night would have been an absolute bonus.
I think the Huddersfield result against Leeds gave us all a little bit more hope, didn't it? Because they had 10 men as well. And for them to sort of sneak a point made us all a little bit more hopeful than the reality.
Yeah, I've just got Michael, the Leeds, I suppose, as Ash. Joe wasn't confident going into the match. You were on the podcast due to the Owls' current form. As was I. Yeah, he did mention it, Joe, on the Yorkshire Rivals. Did say he wasn't 100% confident, just purely the way we've been playing, even though, like I said, they've won 10 out of 11. And just the result against Huddersfield was a shock to everyone. But it was just the way Huddersfield played, which was disgusting if anyone watched it. they no way was Sheffield Wednesday ever going to play like that. So it was... thing, but Simon, how did you feel going into the Leeds game Friday night?
I don't have the same issue with Leeds that obviously Holly has. To me, I don't really give a flying rat's ass about them. I thought if we get a point, like Steve said, a point would have been a massive bonus. But they are literally in a different league to us. You know, I don't expect anything out of the teams that we're playing at the top. So you could consider it maybe as a free hit. Well, mate, you know, that team are a bottom half of the Premier League team. And that's what we're seeing with all those teams that are... You know,
Sorry, Sam, ticking you off. Is the team that played Friday night worse than the one that got a draw at Elland Road 4 months ago?
I think Leeds
got a point, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think Leeds were finding their feet in the Championship at that point. They are flying at the moment, absolutely flying. They made a good account of themselves at Chelsea. You know, they're a team that are full of lower Premiership players, not Championship players. You know, it's a team that them and Leicester are. You know, we were in League One last season. We were in League One for two seasons last season. Yeah. We can't compete. Our wage bill is nowhere near their wage bill. You know, this is the thing.
I'm so sorry. We were in League One for two seasons last season. That's how long last year lasted.
Yeah. Well, it felt like it. About this time, wasn't it? It felt like it.
It was, because it was a year ago.
You know, they've just come down out of the Premiership after spending two years in the Premier League, right? And it's chalk and cheese. So if you get a point against them, you get a point against them. We didn't. It'd been nice, but we didn't. And we've got to just go into the next one.
Right.
The teams we've got to be beating are the Plymouths, the Stokes. You know, I mean, we should have beaten Huddersfield, shouldn't we? God knows what happened there, you know, and that might come to haunt us in 2 months' time.
So you weren't confident then?
I didn't give a shit either way, to be honest. I thought if we got a point.
Starting lineup came out, and obviously there were a couple of changes, weren't there? Bambo Diaby came in for Inekwe, and Palmer came in for Volks. And if you're ever going to question Danny Rowles' tactics and picking teams, Friday night was to do it. Absolutely atrocious.
No, right.
Whoa. Yeah, on that, if you look at that team, I'm going to say, you look at that team, no way would you have dropped Will Vogt, especially for Liam Palmer.
Or Inekwe. It was crazy.
I get the Inekwe one because of pace.
I was going to say, that's
pure bait, that, mate. Pure bait, that. Pure
why?
Bait.
No, why? Why?
I'm not biting there. I'm not biting.
Don't. There's no bait. It was fact. Will Vogt has been the best midfielder in the last 6-7 games.
Yep.
Fact. Palmer, yep, in that first half was a passenger. No way did he influence that game at all.
He wasn't at his best, I won't say.
I didn't get the fact that, like you just said, that and Will Vogts was getting in team of the week and so on and so forth. Yeah. How and then Palmer's position, all right, we played him towards the end of last season in League One in that position, and we played him in the semi-final and the final in that position in League One, right? That position was Will Vogts's all day long. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Liam should not have been playing in that position. At all, full stop. I'd rather seen him playing in Bernard's position, not in Bernard's, in Diaby's position than Diaby.
Yeah, because he played with Valentin against Thing, and they had a good relationship. They played well together.
Yeah, yeah.
But he hasn't got the pace as well. I think that's why he went with Diaby, because of pace.
And that, because Ihekwe heads the ball, but Leeds don't put a cross in. I mean, I know they did, but it wasn't a headed cross, were it? If they start running at Ihekwe, then they would have scored 10. So that's just. I'm gonna get absolutely rinsed for this, but I actually, because of where we sit, I actually really did think that in the first half, Diaby played really well. He was up their ass. Whoever was their central striker, he was up their ass, and they didn't get a sniff. And there was at least two times where he came across, and the whole crowd like held the breath because it was either gonna be. He's walking or he's taking everything, and he took everything. And I can't fault Diaby in the first half at all.
Yeah. I was surprisingly happy with Diaby, I've got to say, because it was one of those where you sat there going 50-50. Is he going to make a rick or is he going to take everything?
I bet their player could hear him coming.
And he did. Yeah. Go on, Stevie. You've leant forward.
Yeah, because you've slagged my boy off and you've not given me a chance to reply.
I'm sorry, everyone, not just me. There's other people talking.
I'm talking you, the collective.
Right. The collective.
Because we don't agree with you already.
I've not even said you don't agree with me.
Who knows what you're going to say. Anyway, Slappy agrees anyway. Slappy Gilmore. Ash, 100% agree with you, buddy. Simon, there's no comments, mate, for Palmer. I don't care.
Right, listen. The only other player that can play the six like Volks at the moment, in my opinion, is Palmer. And I know that there are things that are there are people that will turn around and talk about the why did we let George Byers go and why did we do this and why did we do that. As much as people will wax lyrical about George Byers, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. It's going to be the most unpopular thing that I have ever said. George Byers is not the player that we thought he was in the Championship. He doesn't have the pace or the physicality. Technically, he's an outstanding player. But for me, I don't think he would have cut it. And I think that Rule has seen it. Rule is very much by the number. He looks at data. And the two reasons, it's been a calculated thing to get rid of George Byers. A, the salary, the wage, it's freed up money for us to allow us to do business in terms of bringing in Pavida. And bringing in Ugbo and whoever else is, you know, we've managed to get over the line and other players that we've retained. But for me, you know, you're looking at that sixth position, the job that Bolks does. At the moment, from my point of view, it looks like Danny's looked at it and gone, right, it's either Momo or Liam. And he's gone with Palmer.
Because, but why drop, you know, why drop Bolks? Why did he drop him?
Because
we played Saturday, Tuesday, Friday.
Because the guy's getting on in age and we're looking at his numbers. So they wear these vests, don't they? They're wearing the data, the GPS. He's looking.
He can't. Sorry.
He's younger than Palmer, is he not?
He is. But he's not. But we're not playing Palmer and Volks every week. And we're not playing in the same position.
But if he's fit enough to be on the bench.
Yeah. Go on, Steve.
Go on, Steve. Sorry, Steve.
So what we're saying, as I was saying,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
He's going to do everything by number. So he's going to look at his output. He's going to look at the way that we're playing it. And we're going to look at it as a bigger picture sort of situation. Maybe Danny Rule has got it in his head that we're going to play this game. I know, playing the percentages, that we're going to beat Plymouth. And I know that I can set up in this way to have a go at Leeds. And I know that we're likely to get more out of Ipswich. And we've got Swansea coming up. We've got QPR coming up. We've got Middlesbrough to play. We've got these teams that are in and around us. Stoke are coming to Hillsborough. Believe you me, when it comes to Stoke at Hillsborough, I put a good wedge of money on the fact that if everybody's fit and firing, Will Bolts will be starting in midfield. Do you know what I mean? So he's picked a team to look. He's managing his players as best he can. Do you know what I mean?
I do agree with that, and I think also Palmer, in theory, offers an extra layer of defensive protection. So maybe we just thought we'd hold Leeds out until the second half, which inevitably we did not.
Well, not even the first.
Well, we didn't. But the thing is,
we did play.
The thing is, if we get a point on Friday night, nobody questions the team selection. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course. If we'd have got a 1-1 like we all would have took, and he played Bambo from the start, Momo from the start, Kadamatri up, you know, really changed it up. Even just on this team selection, but that's what we're here. This is why we talk bollocks.
But we all just argued that Momo were crap in that position. So if Volks isn't able to do three games in a week, then Palmer's or my future husband Reece James, but I'm guessing he's not going to do it.
He can't get in his position, never mind in midfield. But. Yeah. The starting lineup for me was a bit of a twist, and I would have preferred Volks if like Stevie's saying that Volks can't play four games in the space of 3 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever it was, and he's managing it. Then that we always say, sorry, see, we've got to trust in role, and that was his thing. So
That's sorry, exactly Steve. The point. No, you're right, and I'm going to say this. And I'm going to shut up. You're exactly right. And given I'm not here to say that Liam Palmer should be playing midfield in front of Will Vaults in our best 11. What I am saying is that I think he's looked at the numbers, he's looked at managing him, and I think he's seeing the bigger picture and has gone right. And I need to give. If I can get Vaults at this level in those games, I'm going to take him out of this one, having looked at Plymouth and looking at Ipswich and whatever we've got coming forwards after that. People might think I'm talking absolute nonsense, Slappy Gilmore being one of them, who's just said that he thinks Palmer's put the GPS on the dog. You know, it is what it is, and I get it. And I'm always going to get derided. I'm always going to get pelters. The first thing I get off James K, bless him, whenever I say something, he comes at me about Palmer, and whenever Palmer makes a mistake, the first thing that happens straight in my inbox, people are going to have a go, and I understand that it is what it is. But and
James has never got anything positive to say, has he, though? On Twitter, he's
a good job. He's a nice guy.
So the first half, I thought we were in it. We played well. I think Holly said she knows a lot of Leeds fans. I work with a couple that gave the props today at work that they were impressed with how Sheffield Wednesday set up and played. I think the first goal, Simon, for me, just, I don't know this, it's a minimum of 4 minutes, isn't it?
It is a minimum of four minutes. So the moaning that it was at 5 minutes 30 or whatever it was, that doesn't hold water because it's a minimum of 4 minutes. Although there was some argument saying, well, minimum of 4 minutes and there was no stoppage in that 4 minutes. So why did it go on an extra minute? If I can just roll back a little bit, Leeds made a fantastic set. Their keeper made a great save, didn't he, in the first half? Was it off Kasama or Masaba? I think it might have been Masaba. If that had gone in, I think that would have changed the complexity of the game. You know, to go 1-0 up, it would have made Leeds a bit nervy. Obviously, you know, it is what it is. It didn't go in, but, you know, we had that chance there. In regards to the ball, the cross for their goal, and then obviously Bamford, who I cannot stand, coming in, ghosting it at the back post and scoring. Don't know what Fenwo was watching, who was marking. It was just, Fenwo, as Ford WRC's put there, you know, Fenwo switched off.
He's already in the change room having his orange, weren't
and
it?
What a really shit time to score.
Yeah.
You know, you go in half-time 0-0, you know, the dressing room, you don't have to do a great deal to get the dressing room going again for the second half. Imagine Danny had his work cut out after that goal.
Yeah. I have to say, from my view, the goal was just... you could see the ball curl around our players and then just tuck back in just where Bamford wanted. It was an absolute beautiful ball. And sometimes you just have to say, it's not that we switched off, it was just an absolutely... great ball in. He couldn't miss, which is just as well, because if he actually has to think about it, he usually does miss, but like you couldn't miss it. It was so good. And you just, as he kicked it, I just thought, oh no. If the cameras were pointing towards that ball, you could just see the tears from my eyes as that ball came in, because he couldn't miss it. And I disagree with Si saying if we'd have scored, Leeds would have got nervy, because having watched him this season on telly, they tend to just go up two levels more, and I think they would have scored even more if we'd have even upset them at all. And I think in the second half they sort of went a little bit better, didn't they, and got into the stride. But don't let half time go.
Not yet. No, we're not up to half time yet.
Okay.
the stats out, isn't it, of Leeds now? Is it 12 games, 11 wins? One draw and three goals conceded.
That's the one, yes.
So that's the level that they're operating at. So, you know, to go back 10, 15 minutes and answer Ash's question, is our team better now than it was in September, August? 100% it is. You put that team that Chisco sent to Elland Road up against that on Friday night, it would have been an absolute horror show. The way that we set up against Leeds at Elland Road, the way that we played against them, it was desperate. You know, it was all hands on deck. It was just it was night and day. The fact that we troubled their goalkeeper, it was a point. But the fact that we troubled their goalkeeper, but and this is the thing, our team Friday versus our team then, we've gone like that. It just so happens that on that night, they were that much better.
But Leeds are a different team now to who they were back then. I actually said at the time, we've played them at a good time back in August because it was, they had a bit of a funny transfer window. That Nonto had decided he wasn't playing and then he came back in for that game. So we played them at a good time before, but now I'm glad it's out of way, if I'm honest.
That's what I was saying earlier on. I mean, they were just getting used to playing in the Championship, weren't they? You know, and now, I mean, like Steve said, they're in fifth gear flying now. You know, you look at the stats from the start of the year, they're just a mental, aren't they? That they are the top form team.
100%. 100%. So obviously,
get that comment up. Get Sharman's comment up.
Steve, just leave that there. For quickest score under Cisco.
Just leave that there for the rest of the night.
Yeah. Still got a point, Ellen Road, though, didn't we? And we didn't on Friday. So, we're not going to stay up, are we, if we don't get points? So, I think I might win that argument. Holly, half-time come. Anything happened at half-time?
The best thing ever happened at half-time. Charlie did the half-time dizzy penalties. And she said she didn't know how to play it, but we decided commit to the dizzy and spin as fast as you can. And she said she got to six and then thought, oh, my God, I've still got another six to go, which is why she had a really long wobble, a readjustment of her hat, and then did a really, really great prance towards the ball that I have never seen before. But I'm sure she's absolutely mortified watching it back. Tried to chip Ozzy Owl and boo, Ozzy, boo, saved it. But, yeah. If you, it's on the TikTok from many angles.
Yeah.
And yeah, we booed her from the sidelines and heckled her, obviously.
Yeah, she did well for the, is it the Just Eat Challenge thing? And I don't think I've seen anyone go round the broom handle as slow as Charlie did. She didn't get dizzy at all, not going that slow, surely.
Well, she's only small, you know. It's a long way for her.
So, yeah, Charlie, well done. Fantastic. Commiserations on not getting your £10 voucher from Just Eat away.
I'm glad she did it because it was either her or me, but I'm glad she did it.
and that was all for International Women's Day that the club and the women's supporters group were celebrating on Friday. So they got all ladies to do the halftime challenge, three of them. So, yeah, and one of them just happened to be off this popular podcast. right, second half. It was a bit, for me, night and day the second half. I think we really struggled second half. And if Leeds wanted to, I think they could have put the foot down a little bit more for me. And then Nonto scored their second. I don't think... Beadle, for me, I thought he played well. He claimed the ball a couple of times. Don't think he could have done much for Nonto's goal.
No.
Honestly, it was the one-on-one tight. It was on him, weren't he? A bit of pace and things. So it was thing. I'm going to put the stats up.
I think Beadle did make a big block, didn't he, in the second half?
We've got
60 possession for Leeds, 40 for Wednesday, 13 shots to 9 in favour of Leeds, 7 and 3 on target, and corners 8-5, so we had more corners. So, I mean, it wasn't hard going the second half. What do you guys think? What do you think to the second half? To obviously, it was going to be hard to get back into the game.
I just think... I thought we did well. I was very nervous because I really was convinced it wasn't going to end 2-0. I thought they were just going to... they tend to score quite a lot of goals at the end of games as well. So I thought once it got to like 85 minutes, I thought, oh no, we're in Leeds time now. We don't want that. But Smith had a chance as well, didn't he? And I tried to pull it over the line by gasping and doing this, but it didn't quite make it.
He came on 65th minute, something like that, Smith, and
he got amongst it a bit, didn't he?
It did, but it's like what Stevie was saying and Simon was saying, there's levels, and I don't think on a full-time basis Michael Smith's...
No, but we brought Smith and Wilkes on, didn't we? And I feel like that was just to try and keep the ball up the other end rather than to actually try and get back into it. It was just to keep it where it was. The note else, I can't imagine that we actually thought we were going to get into it with Wilkes and Smith on the pitch.
Yeah. Matthew Moore's good. Second goal killed the game, which, yeah, it did. It was, it was a bit of a clean. What was it? 50, I think I've got it here actually. 58th minute. So there's still 30 odd minutes left. But just for me, just your last words on the Leeds game, Steve. What were your thoughts then on summarise that?
I think we've talked about it, haven't we? It's when we come to the, and I don't know if there's something you've got lined up. We have had this thing, and me and you are going backwards and forwards with it in various chats about every game being must win. I've said it before. I didn't think that losing against Leeds would define our season. It wouldn't be a nail in the coffin sort of thing. I think it was one of those where if we can look at it and try and get something out of the game, and if we got anything out of it, it would have been a bonus. But I didn't go home on Friday night, feeling it catastrophizing about the rest of the season and feeling that we were in, more trouble than we were or anything like that. It was what it was. I woke up Saturday morning feeling a lot better than I did waking up Sunday after Huddersfield, for example. I'd have rather would have won the game. But I think, we made a fairly good accounting for ourselves against what is literally the best team in the Championship over the last 6 months. So, we are where we are. They're better than Leicester at the minute. They're better than Southampton. They're better than Ipswich. And they are comfortably better.
One thing we didn't say, and I did notice, but I didn't think, is Anthony has said, some game we could talk about players looking like they don't want to be out there. But I have to say the ref didn't look as he was bothered about being there in the second half. I don't think he was the best. But I think that was born more out of frustration from the score and the result and thing. You look at things, don't you, with different eyes. If we were winning 2-0 and he's making them decisions, you don't, do you? It's more, I think.
Yeah, I thought it were better first half and then second half, but that again, like you say, it's just my bias.
There was just the one foul on Valentin that Somerville did where he got him. I think he got hold of his arm and then his shirt and then he like pushed up. If you see it in slow motion, it's pretty thing. And Leeds got a free kick for it. And there were just a couple of things like that, but
and one of their players had some treatment on the pitch and then he just came straight back on. And I'm pretty sure
the 14. Two went down. He took his shirt off. He took his shirt off because he thought, the blood on the shirt. Took it off, put it back on, ran round the corner and then ran straight back on the pitch.
Yeah. But apparently because they clashed heads with each other on the same team, they don't have to go off for 30 seconds.
Is that a rule?
I spend a lot of time on Twitter, X, and I'm sure I saw that somewhere. Please don't quote me, anybody, but I'm sure that is a hidden rule, hidden law or something. Yeah. We've just had a question for the panel. Liam says, he's got a question for the panel. Have any of you heard of a 5-star campsite in Millsborough that provides accommodation and breakfast for under a tenner?
I have booked the worst hotel in Middlesbrough for Easter. You cannot buy anything for the same price that I've bought this hotel. So if you never see me again, that's why.
Will Liam be pitching up in the front garden of this hotel?
I don't think it's a real hotel.
I think Liam needs to check the postcode to make sure it's Teesside and not some sort of Eastern European country. The Middlesbrough twinned with Middlesbrough.
We've got a jam the sun. Jam the sun, I like that. Smith can't hold the ball up. He's like a brick wall. Keep the ball in their half. I think it's been noted a few times about his first touch and hold-up play.
And Wilkes as well, but he must have some blackmail on every manager in the football league.
Yeah.
Flappy Gilmore. I just thought Leeds looked so sharp in that second half, and they moved through the gears so quickly. Like you've both said, guys, looked class above, in my opinion.
My allegiances aside, I felt more stressed about the end bit of the Plymouth game than the Leeds game, because it was just, I didn't come away from, like Stevie was saying, I didn't come away from it disappointed, really. And I thought I would, because I hate Leeds. But I really didn't, and it didn't show us up, and we didn't kill the vibe. So it, vibes all round.
It does, even though the loss for me, even though we lost 2-0, it still gave a bit of confidence in what other games coming, other six pointers, other must-win games that are coming up.
And we've got Pervader can play in every other game now. So that,
oh, that's him out for season, Si. Well done.
Well, yeah. I think the positive we can take from it is we'll never have an away kit as horrible as Leeds' away kit. Because that kit was absolutely
fruit salad kit.
It was awful. Dreadful.
It was lovely. Let's leave the disappointment, and that was the low of the title of Leeds at home under the lights. We're gonna do a quick look at the time. Bloody hell, we do talk some rubbish, don't we? And nearly an hour. Stevie, come on, Stevie. I'm not going to slag Palmer off anymore. I can't, can I, anymore after news that I got today as well. So, Stevie, Ipswich coming up. What's your little bit of a preview? Obviously, we'll have the hello from the other side coming up this week, but we're not all on that. So, just give us what's your thoughts? Muffin. Bastard.
Rat bastard.
Say it, Stevie. Say it.
Nine games left, Stevie. We've
got to win six.
Got to win, yeah.
We've got nine absolutely games left, haven't we?
Nine games left, yes. And they're saying
nine games.
They're saying the people who know stuff saying 50 points plus, which is on 38. That's 12. That's four games.
Who minimum are these people that know stuff?
not me.
But I genuinely want to know what they're basing that on, and I've not looked. But if they're saying that that's just a cutoff, there are how many points between us in 23rd, and we do respect to Rotherham. See you, hopefully not next year.
19.
It's 19 points between
us and Rotherham.
No, sorry. How many points between? Have you got the league up?
Yeah, I've got the league up here. Yeah.
How many points between us and Swansea?
Five.
And where is
Swansea? They've got game
in hand. Where is Swansea?
Oh, no, actually, no.
The thing is, fixtures-wise, I think Rotherham have got almost everybody to play at bottom. Leeds have got, I think Leeds might have Plymouth next, but I think Rotherham
are
dishing out 3 points to everybody.
But the point I'm making is, where I'm going with that is, we're saying 50 is a magic number. I'm not convinced that it is. I'm not sure that it is or it isn't. It may be, it may not be, but you know, the bottom line is there is that much volatility in 15th, did you say, down?
Yeah, Swansea 15th on 43.
Swansea 15th. So we are literally 5 points away from 15th. And we're sitting here going, oh, you know, shit, oh God, every game's must win. Of course we want to win every game. Of course it's important that we pick up as many points as we possibly can, but I'm going into Ipswich thinking they're third at the moment. They're third in the league, you know. So they're a team that take the last season out of it. You'd be looking at it and going, right, they're a team that we need to be, that we can get whatever we can out of the game. And then from there, every game's a must win. I don't want to use the word free hit, and I don't want to say that we've got to get something. But you look at where they were the other night; they've lost 2-1 to Cardiff, and they've conceded two late goals. I don't see on balance of play that they're going to do that two games in a row. And I think it's going to be a long afternoon on Saturday. I really do. But I'm trying not to lose my head at the fact that we might not win on Saturday, and if we don't win on Saturday, then everything, we reassess what other teams have done and we go from there. But we are getting to the point where games are must win. I was
just going to say that, Stevie, with what you've just said there, and I don't care what anyone says. I really don't. This is my view. Everyone looks at other teams. I know everyone says, you've got to concentrate on what you do. Yeah, but if we don't get any points on Saturday, at 10 to 5, everybody will be looking at the results for other teams around us. So
Absolutely, it
does matter. So if we don't get any points, I agree with you, Stevie. It's not a heads gone moment. It's not a, oh my God, that's it. But if Birmingham are going to win, if QPR are going to win, if Stoke, do you know what I mean? Those immediately above us, then the pressure is on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So for me, the point where I'm going with it and what I'm trying to get at is the fact that we've got Stoke to play again. We've got QPR to play again. If somebody said to you, right, who would you rather be, Ipswich or QPR? You're going to say QPR.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're 100% going to say QPR. You're going to say Stoke. You're going to say those teams. There are other teams that are down, and we've got to beat Swansea again. I'm not being funny. Swansea are 15th at the minute. They lose two games in a row, and we win two. We're above the team that are currently in 15th.
You know? It's musical chairs when the music stops. It's whoever's
That's it. Exactly that. Simon, Ipswich, what's your thoughts on Ipswich? Oh, keeping everyone past Love Island. Is Love Island still a thing?
They're
big brother now.
As Steve said, they lost the other night and the other day, and they will want to come back because obviously it's getting really competitive at the top. It'd be nice to get a draw there, wouldn't it? I mean, we don't travel well to Ipswich anyway, do we? We don't travel well there anyway. I mean, I don't think any of us are going, are we? I mean, it's the first time often we all go to away games at the moment, certainly the long trips, and I don't think one of us wants to go to Ipswich.
Not after last season and Michael fucking Smith.
Well, exactly. So a draw would be nice. I'd hope they don't want to take revenge. They seem to have invented this fake rival with us as well, don't they, the Ipswich?
Just ignore them.
Yeah, so look, a draw would be nice. Let's move on. We need to be getting, you were talking about 15th, Swansea. You look at the number of teams we've got to play between 15th and us. There's quite a few, QPR, Swansea. They're the teams we need to be taking points off. Stoke, Blackburn. You know, Blackburn can't get a win. Their form is awful. So we need to be picking up those points. They're where we need to get those points to stay up.
They're usually the teams that we just give the points to, though, aren't they?
Yeah. Holly, go on, a prediction from you for Saturday's game against Ipswich, please.
I'd love a point, but I can't see it. We have such a bad record there.
Yeah. Stevie, I'm assuming we're all going to be exactly the same, actually. But
I think it's going to be a long afternoon. And the thing is, I know he's not fit, so I don't think Hursty's going to score. But I can see Luongo being in and around it if he is fit and being really influential. It's going to be one of those that, you know, former loves are going to come back and bite us on the arse. And it's going to hurt because, like it's just been said, they've created this kind of ridiculous rivalry. I do think we're going to lose on Saturday, unfortunately, 2-0.
Oof. Simon, quick prediction.
I think 2-1. Pavida's back, so 2-1.
Oh, right.
What's your prediction, goal. Ash?
My prediction I think it may be a long afternoon. I agree with Stevie. We don't agree on a lot of stuff, but I think on that, I would love it. Obviously, a point. I love a 3-point Coastwood point, but I think it may be 3-0 Ipswich.
Oh God!
I know. It's shocking, isn't it? But you know, I just
You're only saying what I actually really feel.
Well, that's it. That's the football for the last week done, and obviously preview coming up on Saturday. Has anybody got any other business?
Yes, you have.
Lee Mendes.
And do it properly, mate. Do it properly. Otherwise, I'm going to do
any
it
any other business. Okay. So, first things first, one of our esteemed podcast people had a great idea to come up with a last man standing. So, that is all on its way now. So, the first week was Saturday.
It's stupid.
It's a con, as me and Holly will attest to. Because we
You're
went
both out then.
Week.
Take it you're out. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Anyway. We've been cheated.
Cheated out. I got bullied. So anyone who's in the WhatsApp chat for the LMS will no doubt hear my frustration being bullied. But thanks to Stevie for setting all that. Yeah, well, because I picked Leeds.
Yeah, He picked Leeds and then got bullied out of picking Leeds.
Bullied out of it. You can't pick Leeds, how dare you? You're not a proper Wednesdayite.
So who did you pick?
So we picked Stevenage, who drew. Anyway.
Cursed him.
So apologies to Holly, who followed my thing and went Stevenage, and also someone else who went. Yeah, cheers, John. I know this. I should have stuck with Leeds. Yes, I know this. I know I should have. But yeah, so
John's in the chat and he's through.
Martin
Owen JD would have been.
This is me and John in round two.
I bet you both went for Norwich, didn't you?
I went Arsenal.
You nearly went.
So, yeah, I bet you were. So that is, I don't know the whole number. So I think it's, is it about £400 the jackpot we've raised? Sorry. So the jackpot's about 280, and I think we've raised £120.
Off the top of my head, I'm really sorry that I don't have this. Off the top of my head, I think it's £295 for the winner.
For the winner,
which is great. And it's something that I'd hope that we look to do again next season, depending on obviously how many weeks it goes. What that has done is it's given £120, I think it is off the top of my head, there or thereabouts, ballpark, to our community initiative. Obviously, we're going to probably mention something around that a little bit over the next few minutes. But that community initiative is a big thing, and we are very, very transparent in everything that we do. We're not hiding anything, we're not pulling anything back. If anybody wants to get in touch with us and say what have we spent the money on that we're collecting, we've got all of that. We can show you. We're not for profit. I say this every time we start talking about this. What are we doing with it? We are. It's a good job because I've not got any. But what we are doing, we are providing experiences, we're providing opportunities, we're buying shirts, we're buying tickets, we're giving back to the fans that are not necessarily in the best positions to be able to access this club. And I think I'm speaking for Ash when I say this. One of the genesis of this whole thing was the fact that our club is very expensive for what it is, and we can't all afford to go and just say I fancy going down to Hillsborough this Saturday. We wanted to do that for people, and it is growing, and we've got more and more things that we're looking to do. So that little bit of money is going to go a real long way in helping people get to come and suffer the heartache that is being a Sheffield Wednesday fan.
and the heartache that is the last man standing competition.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be involved in that.
Ask me and Ash for some tips.
Yeah, don't bet against your team. God, you get lynched. That's that last man standing. And obviously you may have seen over the last few weeks on our socials, if you're a social media whore like myself, that we've done a bit of egg donating. So we've asked yourselves and other Wednesday fans and listeners and anyone who basically likes Sheffield Wednesday to come down on match day, the last three home games, and donate an Easter egg. And if you donated, you could win the chance to win a shirt home or away. And also just on that as well, which I haven't discussed with any of these guys either, but we're going to do a second draw. So if your name was in the draw, do a second draw and you're going to win, I don't know, let's say £30 voucher for our tap shop. So yay, you could have won a 65 quid shirt, but no, you're going to win some market store tat. So the second place in that draw will win something. So that's something else. Just purely to say thank you, because to say that I had a bit of a total in mind. I had a bit of a total in mind how many will collect.
That's strong, you that, isn't it?
It has a little bit, yeah. He has thrown me a little bit, yeah. Seen that, but we smashed it. Oh, sorry, you lot have smashed it. You lot, it's not us, it's you guys. With help from the club, which we did not expect, that was absolutely fantastic. I had an old man in tears sat at work. It was at my desk when that came through. I don't mind admitting it. So,
can I give a quick story about a conversation that me and you had?
Go on. Please keep it clean.
Yeah. So the Bristol game, the Bristol City game. The night before, I don't know if you remember this, the night before the Bristol City game, you were like, I'm really nervous. What if nobody turns up? What if we set up and made all this effort and we've got a banner and we've got a table and we've got all the cloth and we've got the gazebo and we've got I'm not going to tell you what we call the mascots privately.
The Easter friends.
Yeah, got the Easter friends.
And you sat there and you went, oh my God, what if we don't? What if nobody turns up? What if it doesn't happen? And I think I said to you, we have enough of a base from some very generous donations to collect to be able to say, right, we're going to put maybe half a dozen eggs on a table. And if anybody brings three or four, it looks like we've had a good day. Yeah. So if that's 10, 15, 20. I wasn't there for the Bristol City game for family reasons. But I was watching the chat and I was transitioning down to where I was going. And I think the at one point you'd counted a number that was in the hundreds and it was sort of 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever it was on that Saturday. And it blew us away like that. And everything that we'd stressed about sort of disappeared very, very quickly. And then we worried about midweek games and we worried about the fact that people aren't going to turn up on a Tuesday. And then we worried about the fact that Sky had decided they were going to move the Leeds game to a Friday. I was there for Tuesday and I was there for the majority of Friday after getting there from work. Friday night was absolutely mind-blowing. And it's just awesome. Been a personal tribute to you. It's been an absolute privilege to be part of your stupid, big-brained idea. And I'm very, very proud of you, mate.
Thank you very much. Well, it's a team effort, isn't it? We've all done it. We're all there. It's for a great cause. So, Holly, sorry, Paul.
Sorry. Yeah, the Wednesday fans have been absolutely brilliant, which I did think that they would be, although maybe not to that standard, but I wanted to shout out to the boys, our Easter friends, the Bear and the Bunny, because I feel like the first 20 minutes in them outfits, they probably were a bit less enthusiastic, but they got into it. They got into it, even though you can't breathe in those costumes. I will attest to that. You definitely can't breathe. They're a bit feisty, but the lads were brilliant.
Mafting.
Yeah. So every one of you that's donated took time to like, retweet, comment, or just even if you just came up to us, a few people come up to us just to have a chat on Friday night. It was fantastic. From the bottom of my heart. I'm going to sit up because I'm going to start crying. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. It was great. And we'll be doing lots more stuff in the future because it was, really good. And I've spoke to the charities involved and they're speechless. So thank you very much to everyone. It was a real pleasure being a Wednesday. We are definitely all Wednesday, aren't we? There we are. I think so. Right, last thing. Stevie, this one's yours. I've just done it. You could talk about the thing that you've set up in the last few weeks. I dropped you in it there, haven't I?
Oh, the last man standing?
No, done that. The other thing, the survey.
He's got no
idea. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you have dropped me in it. We didn't talk about this off air. We're wanting to keep looking at the things that we're doing as a podcast. The eggs is an idea that we've had. It's not the first idea that we've come up with, but it's one that's gained a lot of traction. And off the back of that, we're looking at different things that we can do as a podcast to try and give back ideas to the community and things to the community. But at the same time, just not selfishly for us, we also want to get a bit of feedback from people that are engaging with us. On online, whether that be social media, whether that be through YouTube, whether that be liking and following our content, whether that be just sharing a TikTok or whatever it may be, we want to make or do everything that we can to try and make this as accessible of a podcast that we possibly can for everybody that is watching, engaging, dropping in. So we are going to be sharing a survey. It won't be anything that's going to be too heavy, too time consuming or anything like that. The idea behind it, I think there's about 24, 25 questions on there where we're looking for people to sort of look at the engagement that they have with us as a podcast, how you access our content, what you like that we do, what you'd like to see more of, admittedly, potentially what you'd like to see less of, me, maybe. and the sort of things that, that you'd like to see going forwards, so that we can try and create, own, develop, shape our output going forward, so that we can try and get more people engaging with the stuff that we're doing. Yeah, admittedly, because we want more people listening to the podcast, because, you know, we enjoy being part of it and giving back to our community. But also, in the long term, you know, looking at what we can do to make your experience better as a consumer of stuff. Because if you're listening to Sheffield Wednesday content online, you know, we want to make sure that we're tailoring it in a way that you're enjoying it, that we're offering something that's going to enjoy your listening or viewing experience. So keep your eyes out on the socials. We're going to give, we've not spoken about this, I would imagine that we're going to give the egg drop a little bit of breathing space before we look to drop again. So in the next week or so, we'll be putting some stuff out. We are going to share the survey online. When we do, we're not trying to sort of harvest any data or anything like that from anybody. It's going to be, you know, for you guys to tell us what you think of us, how you think we're doing, so that we can try and look at, you know, that stuff, analyze the way that we're going with things. If you do get involved, we are looking at what we can do to offer maybe another shirt or an entry for all those people that look to get involved with it, so we can try and get as much as we can out of that to make it a worthwhile process. But like I said, keep your eyes on what we're doing, keep your ears on our, you know, eyes and ears on our socials, so we can, you know, get some feedback from you.
And Stevie's been really kind with the age categories, so don't worry about being put in an older category.
It goes like this. It goes Molly, Holly, Molly, no. Charlie, Holly. Molly, Charlie, Holly.
Everyone else.
Ash and Dan, and then me and Simon.
Steve, then Simon.
I'm trying to be kind of myself.
Fudge is in two categories. He's got his normal age.
His face, his face and his body.
Yeah. Turkey age and birth age.
Forehead, rest of body. Cheers, Stevie. Thank you very much. Yeah, just look out, as always, on our Twitter, Facebook, socials, everything like that, because we will be releasing a lot of stuff coming up. Once again, thanks for joining us. We've done an hour and 20. Fudge will be doing his absolute nutting because he always wants to keep below an hour. So thank you very much, guys, for joining me. I've been Ash, your host. Fudge will be back next week after he's moved house. So don't worry, all the usual shenanigans will be back. But thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you at Ipswich. Oh, no, we won't. Will we? Is anyone going to Ipswich? No. No one's going to Ipswich. We'll catch you next Monday then. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Le Bosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.